afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't know we were live, as my good old Skype didn't show that I was live. So it was nice to hear little old Todd, the producer, tell us. So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I just knew it was going to be one of it's just been one of those days, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Financial Survival, and it is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. It is Friday, October 26th, 2018, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. I don't know if it was Dave. Good afternoon.
TGIF, Melody.
Well, it's certainly, it's maybe more like a Monday than a Friday, but certainly we are here now. And thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. And it's always good to be patient. And I think many of us who own gold and silver, we've been patient, and we're still patient, as gold was up $1.90 today, off the high of $12.44. $10 higher as we're selling right now in the New York spot price after market at $12.34. Silver today, $14.77, up 5 cents. Platinum was up $6 today at $836. Palladium was up 3 at $1,111. The USDX today, of course, was a little weaker, 0.23 by 96.37, along with crude oil was up 44 cents at 67.77, 777 there on crude oil. And the paper markets today, you know, the Dow was down 300 points, 24,688. The NASDAQ was down a little over 2%, 151 points at 7,167. And the S&P was down 1.75%, 2,658, down 47 points. 10-year yield, that's dropping 0.06 at 3.08. You know, so it tells me that you have some people going into the treasuries as a safe haven. And European and Asian markets were all negative, about 1% for each. And the fear and greed index, we're looking at what emotion is driving the market, which I don't agree with this now. The extreme fear is number 6, and there certainly is no fear in these markets. So maybe it's something that we'll see in the near future, but I couldn't see yet any rear, when we're down 3,000 points in a couple days, yeah, that'll be fear. That'll be extreme fear. And those days are coming, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you are prepared for protecting your dollar with gold and silver. There was one thing before we get started about the markets. Well, let's go ahead and I'll bring this article in a little bit later. There were some, they did release disappointing quarterly results we received from key tech companies, and it overshadowed a little bit stronger economic data. Larry Benedict, he's from the Opportunistic Trader. He said traders don't want to be long heading into the weekend. It's only down 300 points, but he said the S&P now down on the year, and people are more afraid to be long today than they were when the market was 10% higher. Let's see if there was any other, an average correction for the S&P since World War II last 4 months, and sees equity slide 13% before bottoming. That's from Goldman Sachs. What else are they going to say? I even saw, when things get a little bit heated, it's funny, Dave, they come out with all these reports before the market actually corrects and talks about, oh, we're in this big bubble, things are going to crash, you're going to see things lose 50. Then when the markets do begin to fall apart a little bit, then they come out and say, well, you might see a 10%, 13%. They get a little softer in their predictions from their analysts. So anyway.
They got to protect their turfs, Melody.
Absolutely. They made a ton of money with these. You got to remember, folks, when they tell you to buy on the dips, look who's making all those commissions. Lots of commissions are made. A lot of money is made.
Yeah, I mean, the Dow Jones is more than 8% off its own record high. Wall Street defines a correction as down more than 10%. from a high. Bear markets defined as 20% falls in stocks. They average a loss of 30.4% in last 13 months. It takes stocks roughly 22 months on average to recover. Bank of America Merrill Lynch's chief investment strategist wrote, "It's a bad sign that oversold markets aren't bouncing." He says it's the inability of oversold markets to bounce suggests that investors worried by either systemic financial market event or recession. There, those issues are forefront in the minds of traders this week.
Well, you had the tech sector. They were really slammed this week. Their earnings weren't very good. The Nasdaq again dropped almost 2% today, and that was led by Amazon, Google, which is actually the parent company Alphabet, which dropped 6.7% and 2.2% respectively. So you had both these tech giants release their quarterly earnings, but the revenues fell short. I saw that, was it Bezos of Amazon? Was it this week, yesterday, or the day? But he lost $14 billion.
Yeah, I think that was yesterday.
Was that
Yeah.
yesterday?
Today wouldn't have been much better.
I don't mean to laugh, but remember we did that article where it says like $14 billion to him is like what $1,000 to us,
Yeah, I know. I know.
so he lost $1,000. The GDP also came out today. It grew faster than what was expected, but certainly off the 4.2% that we saw in the second quarter. It expanded by 3.5% annual rate. Economists were expecting a 3.4, so not that big of a difference. The department said the PCE price index, which is a key measure of inflation, increased by 1.6% last quarter, much less than the 2.2% increase that was expected. And those numbers are all hogwash anyway. So, consumer spending, it accounts for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, grew by 4% in the third quarter, and that was the strongest since the fourth quarter of 2014. And don't forget that that's all debt.
Yeah, the strong rise in consumer spending helped offset an 8% decline in business spending. That was the biggest quarterly decline in that area since the first quarter of 2016. The consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of overall GDP, as listeners know, and the consumer really drives our economic engine. But business spending is certainly not irrelevant by any measure, and a drop of 8% is telling, and in fact it may have foretold, the October activity that we've seen in the paper markets so far. And that's remember, the month is not yet over. Now GDP, grew by 4.2% in the second quarter, as Melody indicated. And the economy increased by 2.2% in the first quarter. This last quarter report comes amid growing concern about rising interest rates slowing the economy. And then you have again the tariffs that the U.S. and China have slapped on billions of dollars worth of each other's goods. And that is increasing fears that tighter trading conditions are going to further slow down the global economy, and certainly hit here in the U.S. on a larger scale.
Talking of tariffs, Whirlpool said that it's raising prices again to stay ahead of material costs as the appliance maker benefits from one set of tariffs, but they get hit by another. So they're increasing prices. It doesn't matter if they benefit. It shows that their prices are going up, and guess who gets to pay the part that where they get hit by. And you had Whirlpool lobbied for protection from what it called unfair foreign competition, but separate tariffs the administration placed on the imported steel and aluminum have raised the Whirlpool's production costs. So if you're buying a Whirlpool appliance and so forth, expect higher prices. from the tariffs. So it's just something that we're going to have to learn to live with. And, you know, being a consumer nation, we have to make sure those folks out there are out there consuming. And certainly their paychecks are not compensating for the increased prices. So we've seen the equities taking a beating this month, and you had the S&P falling more than 7% so far in October, and that was through yesterday's close. And the conflicting GDP and the PCE figures mean in terms of whether the Fed's going to raise rates again in December, you know, still remains to be seen. And that's going to be after the election. That pretty much will be the topic of conversation, whether they will or whether they won't. And, you know, for those of us who want to go to Vegas and bet on it, you can do so, I bet. No pun intended. But on the other hand, you have economic growth in excess of expectations. And again, it's going to put the Fed to increase again. And Dave, you believe the Fed won't be able to help itself and will increase rates again in December? I don't think they will. I think it depends on what happens between now and December too. But we're seeing that 10-year drop considerably. If it goes back down below three, yeah, they might raise. They might raise it, but I think that's a key number to that's what I watch. Anyway, so what this all tells us, ladies and gentlemen, is that gold and silver prices are going to continue to rise. They're in it to win it, and they are going to bring home the bigger prices. The price is set to surge. And so, you know, you just need to continue to convert that paper dollar into gold and silver. So give us a call, 800-375-4188.
Yeah, well, Melody, regardless of how you and I feel about the Fed's actions in December, the new vice chair of the Fed says more rate hikes are warranted. Richard Clarida, in his first major policy speech since being seated, he said more interest rate increases are likely called for as the economy continues to gather strength. You know, it does. It cracks me up how these analysts. They're really. I mean, they're smart folks, and they often speak with an aura of confidence and poise. But in reality, I think the majority of them are insecure, and I think you can see that insecurity because they couch them in terms like likely. You know, they'll likely increase, and words like that. You know, in assessing current conditions, Clarita said that growth broadly, and with the job market in particular, has surprised him. He said, based on my reading of the accumulating evidence, I believe that trend growth in the economy may well be faster, and the structural rate of unemployment lower than I would have thought years ago. Now, while his remarks were a bit more tempered than those of a lot of his other colleagues earlier this week, Clarita said he sees, quote, further gradual adjustment, unquote, in the Fed benchmark funds rate as likely, Melody.
And they're always going to say what needs to be said in order to keep it going, you know? And it truly is amazing. He said that even that, you know, he said that could change if the data move in, the inflation turns lower. Clarita described the current state of policy as accommodative. And as long as the markets know that, we might see some of this volatility tame, although it didn't today. President Trump, in an interview earlier this week, said that the Wall Street, well, actually, he was being interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, repeated that monetary policy is the biggest threat to the economy. Well, no kidding. And the wondered aloud whether he made the right choice in appointing Jerome Powell as Fed chairman. So, of course, it's monetary policy. That's what the economy is. That's what it's just, I mean.
It is fundamentally, although we talk often about fiscal policy too, and the Congress certainly hasn't kept up its end of the bargain. Well, it depends. I guess they have kept up their end of the bargain.
By not doing anything.
Yeah, for global buyers of U.S. Treasuries. But it's interesting. I mean, Clarita is a Trump appointee, as well as Powell, and He was just confirmed last month, and he cited research similar to that that's been touted by Jerome Powell, that shows the danger of waiting too long to raise rates. And that's been a lot of what, Melody and my beef has been with the Fed. It's just like, market timing in terms of an individual deciding when's a good time to get in and should I get out? Remember, we're in this for the long haul. And the long haul, I think, is what points the clearest toward the safe havens of gold and silver. And we're going to be talking more specifically about gold in particular, but silver also later on in the show. Clarita, he's talking, even though inflationary pressures appear to be low, and it's certainly confirmed today with, the PCE being substantially below quote expectations. He said that, despite that, above trend economic growth also might not trigger inflation, more inflation. He thinks the economy has more room to grow, likely, again. He said the rising savings rate suggests that consumers have more buying power, while the tax cuts have provided an incentive for business investments. And I would add, yes, the tax cuts have given business and investment an incentive to invest more. However, as we've reported time and again this year, those increased investments have gone into buying back their own stocks largely. And Melody, that's not real investment.
No, it isn't. And it props up the stock market. I mean, the whole system is corrupt and it's not real. And I don't agree with the Fed. They should, there's so much, but we have to look at what's happening today and what do we do with the information that we have today. Yeah, I can complain all day long saying the Fed should have never been created, we should have never gone, but we have gone off the gold standard. We do have we do have the corruption, we do have bigger government, we do have this, and we are here today. We have markets that are used to that anything that the Fed does, it's for Wall Street, it's for the banks, it's not for us. And we got to go out on our own and make decisions that are best for us and protect what you have. Hey, if you want to play in the paper market, be my guest, but just protect it. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, as Dave said, later on in the program. We're heading into the first break today in the program. We'll be right back. Find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Not to sidetrack too much, but I just wanted to say and acknowledge that they got the so-called bomber suspect in custody. Perhaps there could even be more in the mail. But the little bit of reading about him, he is a nutcase to begin with. And I don't know, he's supposedly a bodybuilder. I don't know, worked in a strip club, steroid problem. I don't know, but certainly, of course, anybody who would do that is certainly a nutcase to begin with. But and it didn't seem like he really tried to hide his trail. we talked about it yesterday about sending packages by the USPS. I mean, right there kind of shows you, you're probably a little off, somehow, some way by using them. I mean, of course, they're able to track it and so forth. So whether he wanted to be found or not remains to be seen. But I guess there's still information. And his van, Dave, was kind of weird. He had all kinds of...
No, that was insane.
All his windows were covered up with stickers and, bizarre. So they have arrested one person in connection with the mailbox bombings. Kind of interesting, but we'll see how that develops over the weekend. Well, consumer sentiment for October was weaker than what they had anticipated in the latest survey result. I mean, it still remains at near historical highs. The University of Michigan's monthly survey of consumers hit 98.6 in the final reading for October. That was below 99, close enough. But in September's final reading, it was 100.1. So that's a significant drop. From 98.6 from 100.1. So, but the consumer sentiment index has been higher this far in 2018 than in any prior year since 2000, which was the last year of the longest expansion since the mid 1800s, and that was from the University of Michigan's survey chief economist Richard Curtin. He said, importantly, stock price declines, rising inflation and interest rates, and negative midterm election campaigns have not acted to undermine consumer confidence. Not yet.
Not yet, indeed, Melody.
Nothing's going to stop the American consumer out there from consuming.
Not as long as,
they got credit cards.
These banks, keep approving these, what I think essentially equate to subprime loans at outrageous usurious interest rate levels in excess of 20%, unless you're, lucky enough to, qualify for, one of those temporary 0%ers. Curtin believes this resilience was primarily due to the prevailing belief that the economy would continue producing robust job growth in the year ahead, even if overall wage growth remained dismal. As we report every month, this survey considers 500 consumers' outlook on economic prospects, accounting for sentiment on personal finances, inflation, unemployment, government policies, and interest rates.
Well, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about my health insurance. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they lowered it by $100 a month. But they increase my deductible for the same amount and my out-of-pocket costs. So, you know, it's a zero. And there's no change at all, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they get you one way or another. And, of course, there's predictions that those premiums are going to be dropping for insurance plans that do comply with the ACA, whether they're sold through exchanges or not. They said premiums are about 6% higher than they otherwise could have been. And this is according to the new Kaiser Family Foundation analysis. And the difference is even starker for middle of the road silver plans. And that's the most popular type of plan that's sold. Those could be 16% cheaper. And so the decision to cut off the law's cost-sharing subsidies caused the insurers to raise premiums significantly, mostly for those silver plans. So nullifying the individual mandate and opening up access to, you know, skimpier short-term plans are also expected to hurt the overall mix of sick and healthy people.
Yeah, those are the factors that drove premiums higher this year. And are going to limit the size of premium decreases next year, according to Kaiser. Now, as Melody and I know, the 2019 open enrollment period begins on November 1st and will last through December 15th. Plans, you know, that are sold, that is, you know, applications for those plans that are completed and submitted by, you know, members, i.e., you know, us, you know, that coverage will begin on January 1st. Now, if you have coverage through the ACA and you don't sign up by December 15th, you're going to need to qualify for a special exemption to purchase coverage that would begin, you know, on February 1st at the earliest. You know, during last year's enrollment period, about 12 million consumers purchased or were automatically re-enrolled in ACA plans. That was slightly below the previous year. About 9 million people signed up in the 39 states that used the federal ACA website. Another 3 million signed up in states that have their own. Yeah, I think that's all from my end, Melody.
Well, you know, I didn't know this, that there were new laws or rules that would allow states to let insurance companies sell short-term insurance plans, but for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So these plans, they're a little cheaper, but and of course, they don't offer all the coverage required under the ACA rules, and it can last for 3 years now instead of 3 months. And I was unaware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened during 2019. It sort of flew under the radar as part of Congress's you know, debate over whether to repeal and replace the ACA. So, you know, that some of these
so it's more like a catastrophic plan, you know. Probably.
Yeah, I mean that's a good I think that's a good way of putting it.
I did not know that, man. But the administration also approved hardship exemptions that lets consumers opt out of coverage if, for an example, their county only has one insurance provider, and consumers. I did not know this either. Can also opt out if they oppose abortion and all the insurance providers in their area cover that procedure. I think I did know that. So,
yeah, it's surprisingly in my mind not well. Maybe we'll see as we get renewal notices next month that you know, these exemptions will be more notable. In the applications.
Well, I mean that's a, you know, with the ACA and so forth, it was so complicated. And you got, you know, of course you have to get it, but you know, get it and then you read it. You know, we get that. But I mean, it's just like, how do people make decisions out there on their health care? Because I mean, there's so many things that they don't know about. that, you know, maybe they could find a way to save a little bit more money, particularly if you're younger and, you know, you really don't need that much health care because you're healthy. And but it's so, there's just so much misinformation, misguided information, or no information. And it makes it very difficult for people to make decisions, and they end up just going with the, you know, this is what this person told me, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, maybe they, you know, could save a few extra bucks if they did something else. But
yeah, always the good old risk-reward analysis. There are organizations out there that exist to assist people like that.
Well, half of them don't know.
Well, that you're, well, you know, even if they do know, finding the contact information for those organizations are often buried in the finer print. So you really have to be you know, proactive, and it is time intensive.
It is, and most people are stretched so thin with working and everything, they just don't have the time to do it. So
yeah, when in doubt, call the office of one of your U.S. senators.
Yeah, they'll be real helpful. Anyway, the White House has formally invited President Vladimir Putin to D.C. John Bolton, the U.S. National Security Advisor, announced this morning. And this announcement returns to an idea that was put on hold in July, of course, amid anger in the U.S. over the prospect of such a summit. And that was, of course, the summit that was held in Helsinki. So there was a, you know, there was, Trump was faced with allegations that he was cozying up to the Kremlin. But Bolton said he gave Putin an invitation to visit next year during his trip to Moscow. And
that's interesting stuff.
Did Putin accept it or not? Do you know?
Well, it's not clear at the moment. I mean, his last meeting on U.S. soil was, you know, with President Obama back in 2015, when they met, you know, in the back room of a, you know, at a UN General Assembly meeting in New York City. You know, as you alluded to, the U.S. Invitation to Putin over the summer, you know, sparked an outcry in D.C., you know, and included from lawmakers in the president's own party, who argued that Putin was an adversary not worthy of a White House visit. I'm sure a lot of that public talk has been different in private conversations with the president and White House staff. You know, the topic of Putin visiting here is a highly charged one because U.S. intelligence agencies allege the, you know, two-year-old, almost three-year-old accusations of Russian interference in the 2016 election. Trump has said it's in the U.S. Interest to establish a solid working relationship with Putin, and I think many Americans, regardless of their political persuasions, would be hard-pressed to disagree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a plan for the two of them to hold a meeting in Paris next month on the 11th, you know, and that's at the sidelines of the events to celebrate the centenary, the 100-year celebration of the end of World War I, although Bolton did say that the Paris meeting would be brief.
Well, you know, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the gold price. You know, we've seen it sort of resist above 1,200, has resisted being above 1,200, but it seems like it's ready to be to go on a pretty good run. And not only are we have been saying it for a very long time and are expecting them, but there's some others. And Alessandro Bruno, he wrote in the latest Lombardi letter that a new gold price floor of $1,300 is well within reach. Of course it is. And the fact that the silver price has achieved a bigger jolt in price suggests that precious metals are ready for a sustained rebound. And the price of gold typically makes a substantial move toward a higher and lasting price range only after silver shows a bullish support. And gold is finally responding to an overall sense of political and economic vulnerability, even though more volatility. So again, you know, the United States is preparing for one of the most contested midterm elections in recent memory. And Americans are united about the name of their country and little else.
Yeah, meanwhile, America, the country, has clarified its overall approach to relations with friends and foes alike. You know, at first it seemed that the U.S. would keep the pressure on China, threaten Iran, and promote friendly relations with Russia. Instead, the administration policy has, you know, overturned all the late-night TV host caricatures of a love fest between himself and Putin, for one thing. You know, the few ultra-loyal friends the U.S. has left, some are abusing their privileges. You know, Saudi Arabia, you know, it's overstepped its boundaries over the last month, leaving the president with a real embarrassing dilemma. And that may infuse volatility in the financial markets if it isn't part of the reason for what's been going on this month, intensifying the already damaging effect of higher interest rates and higher treasury yields. You know, the risk of an oil crisis has reared its ugly head as well, you know, as we know, pushing prices to five-year highs.
Well, you know, we've seen Brent crude oil prices rise significantly after the Saudi government, as Trump recognized them as having instigated the murder of the journalist in Turkey, Khashoggi. And so again, you know, the administration threatening significant consequences for the perpetrators. But investor risk aversion is back, most importantly. And so the overall market has started to brace itself. And we've seen the Dow drop around 2,000 points after one of the most flagrant examples of irrational exuberance pushed it to a new record of 26,773 in early October. And so you have all these many seasoned observers and students of the stock market know October is full of ups and downs. So can this down period of the market be trusted to give the gold the support it has been seeking? And Bruno believes that the markets are dropping thanks to a real sense of risk aversion amid higher volatility.
Well, if that's true, and we believe it is, you know, the price of gold, you know, the haven investment by definition, safe haven, should enjoy the steady boost that many precious metal investors have been seeking and that we've been looking for how long, Melody?
Long enough.
Yeah, really. Notice the less the more than vague frustration. Oh my gosh, it can't be.
It is. We're heading into the final segment of the program today, ladies and gentlemen, right after these few short commercials. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Dave Vallon. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, if we're going to have an October surprise, it's got 5 days to do it in. But we have seen a lot of volatility this month, and I think it's just going to continue. I just don't see any way that they can bring this and run it back up to the high levels that we've seen before. But one thing I learned in my 25 years is you can ever underestimate the power and the control that they have. They can pull things out of their hat better than any magician that I know. So, they've learned from David Copperfield, I believe. But anyway, 1-800-375-4188. And we have a new segment today, ladies and gentlemen. And Dave, would you like to tell us what the name of this segment's going to be?
Well, it's called The Long and Short of Gold.
Oh, okay. And, over the past 6 months, we read, or longer, we read about how time and again you have these big investors, the institutional investment houses. Excuse me.
Bless
take
you.
Over. Yes, take over. I got a little frog in my throat. Go ahead, take over, please.
Oh, well, we talk about these big investors, and especially the large institutional investment houses that, rely on computerized automated trading, who've long been holding down the price of gold and silver through the options trading practice of shorting them. Because we at Financial Survival dislike the practice of automated trading so much, and to promote the precious metals that the devious automated traders of the world have been trying to keep artificially low, we're instituting a new segment called The Long and Short of Gold. So every other Friday, the segment will feature a handful of information-rich briefs on gold and silver. We hope you appreciate the information and our modest attempt at a little bit of irony. First up, Melody, the World Gold Council's latest investor report, which shows some interesting trends. First, gold returns are competitive compared to other financial assets. The 10-year average return for gold is similar to that of the S&P 500, the MSCI emerging market stocks, most U.S. treasuries, and many other commodities such as crude oil. And gold has always been correlated to stocks gold has actually been correlated to stocks and high-quality bonds so far this year. It usually is inversely related. Gold's performance should be measured against a variety of currencies, not just the dollar. Interestingly, gold trades more internationally than many other financial assets, such again as the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, U.S. agency funds, the U.K. gilts, and German bunds. And finally, last but not least, financial gold accounts for more than one-third of all above-ground gold stocks. The size of financial gold is larger than many stock and bond markets, especially overseas, such as in the U.K., Hong Kong, France, Germany, and Italy.
Well, you know, thank you, Dave. Our little frog is gone, so I appreciate you,
no, hey,
you taking over. But, you know, in the past two decades, we've seen a radical shift in the world axis, with China becoming a dominant global force economically, commercially, and increasingly politically. And the figures are remarkable, the pace of change even more so, but there's still an enormous potential for future growth. And this potential is widely acknowledged, not least by the Chinese authorities. Initial steps have been taken, but much more action is planned over the coming decade and beyond. And this has implications in many areas. For example, with China's financial markets, the insurance industry now manages $2 trillion of assets following a decade of rapid growth. The Insurance Asset Management Association of China explains that this fast-growing sector is going to benefit even more from investing some of its $2 trillion in gold.
Yeah, go gold. Go Xi. You know, Melody, as we've reported before, China's Belt and Road Initiative is vast in size, you know, ambitious in scope, and already underway. The BNR initiative, as we'll abbreviate it, covers 68 countries or regions that house half the world's population and comprise almost one-third of the global economy. That's big. The BNR region, more importantly, is rich in mining resources and accounts for a significant share of the global gold supply and demand. While infrastructure facilities are well-developed in Europe, they're much less so in South Asia, namely India, and the Middle East. So railways and bridges are being planned between Asia and Europe to help boost trade through the BNR initiative. The Gold Council says this should also enhance gold mining investment and reshape the world map for gold mining and, in turn, gold demand.
And, you know, we can't forget about silver.
Aha.
And silver, hi-ho, silver. Way. And of course, you know, there's a lot of analysts who do favor silver over gold. I believe it's a perspective, and you need to look at the fundamentals of each, and those are your basics, and I'm a basics person, a common sense person. But silver is great right now with a low price. Buy low, sell high. You can't go wrong. And again, we look at the ratio. The gold-silver ratio is about 84. That's the highest it's been since March of 1993. And it's reached its highest in over 100 years when it hit 99 in early 1991. And what that means is that you can currently buy 84 ounces of silver for every 1 ounce of gold. So there's several silver investors we're recommending to trade some of your gold for silver. And that is really based on the suitability of each trader. Okay, what you have, what you're holding, you know, one size doesn't fit all, I believe. So, but if you trade some of your gold for silver, and then when it reaches until the gold-silver ratio reaches as low as 71. And remember that silver is more of an industrial metal at this point, and at the end of the day, that has a broader use in the economy as compared to gold, which has much less use in the economy. But you also have to remember about gold, silver. What's nice about silver is when we go through a world depression, that industrial usage for silver is going to convert back to a monetary usage. Mm-hmm. It has in the past several times, and it's going to do it again. So, you know, you get an extra bang for your buck, so to speak, because silver will still be very much in demand.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. You know, call us. We can help you with that, determining you know, based on how much gold and silver you own right now. How much, you know, we're certainly here to lend you options and feedback on thoughts you may have for trading in some of your own gold for silver based on the current price differential.
The retail is getting crushed. It doesn't make sense, but, you know, this is... says this report says that the retail sector is getting crushed amid the recent broad market sell-off. The group is down nearly 8% since the start of October, and it's on track for its worst monthly performance since January 2014. Among the names hardest hit within the retail sector this month included Stitch, Fix, Wayfair, DSW, and Tiffany. But despite the plight of Toys R Us, Sears, and other biggies, some say the future of retail stocks, at least in the near term, of course, what else are they going to say looks promising? Of course they're going to say that. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to buy it if they said, oh, you know. But they're expecting this to continue. But again, these are only going to continue if the buyer continues, and that remains something a little bit different.
Yeah, how about it? I mean, shares of Nordstrom, for example, is one that one of the analysts, Mark Tepper, who's president of Strategic Wealth Partners, is bullish on. He's saying that's a real good find right now with forward price earnings ratio of 16. Shaneco CEO Gina Sanchez says the state of the consumer is relatively healthy. You know, and that gives her reason to believe retail names will likely rebound and lead higher, presumably because we're getting ready to head into the holiday season. And the higher sales growth continues to be online. You know, 20% versus 15% expected from brick and mortar stores. That 15% to me, Melody, is surprising. She says it's a great story. But you have to be selective.
I mean, how every day we talk about the poor condition that the consumer is in, you know. But as long as they find those credit cards, they don't care that the consumer will eventually default on their debt and so forth and whatnot, and get bad credit ratings and lose things that they have in their savings. They'll just pump them full of good news, and they can continue to put the shoes on their little babies. Anyway. Seniors. Are we a senior yet?
I'm afraid by some definitions. I'm getting... What are you? No, I'm getting discounts at golf courses. Of course, been a member of AARP off and on since, for 12 years. So I guess we are.
Well, don't include me in...
I'm
a 39-year-old senior.
There you go. You lead by example.
But the definition of bankruptcy is given as legal status of a person or other entity that cannot repay debts to creditors. And there's this worrying trend that has been highlighted closer to home is the fact that a more significant number of older American citizens are beginning to file for bankruptcy at a rate that is more than double what it was 25 years ago. Of course, we have more senior citizens, though, too, than 25 years ago. This trend was highlighted by a study that was published by the Social Science Research Network and referred to as a coming storm of broke elderly. The study identified that the rate of citizens over the age of 65 who are now filing for bankruptcy increased about 204% from 1991 to 2016. And of course, they pointed out that the study that the number of older citizens compared to the total number of all individuals who filed bankruptcy increased 5 times within the same 25-year period. Wow.
Phew. Yeah, it's no surprise, ladies and gentlemen, but the increased trend of bankruptcy among seniors is caused in part by extremely high health care costs. There it is again.
Yes.
In addition to lower incomes and lower pensions. Or lack thereof, like Social Security anyway. You know, the study points out that the cost of taking care of medical issues is a common theme recurring with the majority of elderly bankruptcy filers. While Medicare, as we know, provides excellent cover for older people's health costs, it doesn't cover everything. You know, things like long-term care, hearing aids, a lot of dental procedures, eye exams, used to prescribe glasses, and foot care, among several others. Some seniors' medical issues could also cause many older adults to lose their job, and that complicates their already challenging financial situations. According to the The ubiquitous Kaiser Family Foundation. Out-of-pocket health costs for elderly Americans who use Medicare consume up to 41% of the average Social Security paycheck. I shouldn't call it paycheck, but check. Kaiser expects the costs are also expected to increase to 50% of the average Social Security income by 2030.
We only have a couple minutes left of the program, and I did kind of find this sort of interesting, where Americans over 50 are worse than younger people at telling facts from opinions. Yeah. And this was a study by Pew Research Center.
Now, is what you just said a fact or an opinion? I wasn't sure. I guess I am older.
Yes, you are. And it's Friday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That let me off the hook.
Yeah. Well, it's my nature. It's my nature. Given 10 statements, 5 each, a fact and opinion, younger Americans correctly identified both the facts and the opinions at higher rates than older Americans did. 44%. Of younger people identified all 5 opinions as opinions, while only 26% of older people did. I don't know, I just find that hard to believe. And 18 to 29 year olds performed more than twice as well as the 65 plus set.
I know, group. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, only 17% classified all 5 facts as factual statements.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Just, I'd like to know the details of those that were surveyed.
Yeah, another study by the American Press Institute. They say TV's to blame. You know, the real correlation with poor performance is exposure to TV news, which has fallen off among young people but remains very high among olders. So, there's something to think about. Over the weekend. Read a book, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. 1-800-375-4188. Not for your book, but for your gold and silver. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, be safe. Good night and God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.